engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Greetings, welcome. It's Eric Erickson here. The phone number, 877-973-7425. Should you wish to be on the program, I'd be delighted to have you. We must now move into a wild esoteric realm of understanding the Gen Z and millennials. My dad wonders if we've reached the end of the world because we've run out of the alphabet, so can we have any new generation? Is it possible for us now to have a new generation when we have no letters left in the alphabet? What will the next generation be? We've gotten to Z, so where do we go? I don't know. I guess come quickly, Lord Jesus, because we're done now. We had a great run world. Now we're left with Gen Zers who are just, I don't know. They're definitely marching to the beat of their own drummer for sure. So there's data out there, and I want to go through this with you. There are a couple of separate stories, and let me, I'm a professional, piece them together. We begin with the basic economic news from Bloomberg. U.S. retail sales barely rose in May, and prior months were revised lower, pointing to greater financial strain among consumers. The value of retail purchases, unadjusted for inflation, increased 0.1% after a downwardly revised 0.2% drop in the prior month. Commerce Department data showed Tuesday, excluding gasoline, sales rose 0.3%. Of the 13 categories tracked by the Commerce Department, five showed declines as gasoline prices were cheaper in the month and furniture outlets offered discounts for Memorial Day. The figures underscore a notable downshift in consumer spending after stronger readings earlier in the year. Economists expect a moderate pace of spending going forward as Americans exercise greater prudence given persistent inflation, a gradual cooling job market, and emerging signs of financial stress. Data out last week showed U.S. consumer and producer prices were both softer than expected in May, which should help boost the Federal Reserve's confidence that they can lower interest rates soon. In keeping rates steady last week, Jerome Powell said consumer spending is still growing solidly and that the household sector is in pretty good shape. Treasury yields declined as the report signaled softening in the economy. All of this is to say, the economy is not as robust as it had seemed. Numbers have been revised down, and in revising those numbers down, what we're finding is an economic slowdown in purchasing by American consumers. They're not being as generous with their money. They're not buying as much. Now, relatedly, this is from the Wall Street Journal. Many people dream of becoming social media stars like YouTube's Mr. Beast or TikTok's Charlie D'Amelio. But for most who pursue careers as content creators, just making ends meet is a lofty goal. Clint Brantley has been a full-time creator for 3 years, posting videos on TikTok, YouTube, and Twitch, where he comments on news and trends related to the online game Fortnite. Despite having more than 400,000 followers and posts that average 100,000 views, his income last year was less than the median annual pay for full-time U.S. workers in 2023, $58,084, based on Bureau of Labor Statistics data. The 29-year-old is hesitant to commit to an apartment lease because the money he gets mainly from online tips and sponsorship deals arrives randomly and could vanish at any moment. For now, he's living with his mom in Washington State. I'm vulnerable, he says. Earning a decent, reliable income as a social media creator is a slog, and it's getting harder. Platforms are doling out less money for popular posts, and brands are being pickier about what they want out of sponsorship deals. The real possibility of TikTok potentially shutting down in 2025 is adding to creator anxiety over whether they can afford to stick with the job for the long haul. You know, I know a little bit about this myself, and the number of people who have urged me to just forget radio, do a podcast, or develop a YouTube channel. The number of people who want me to do a standalone specific content and thematic topics and getting pushed from all ends. And, you know, for me personally, separate from this topic at hand, I was watching Full Swing on Netflix. It's a documentary about the PGA. It's actually really good. And there were two separate people. One was a coach, and the other one was a psychologist who was doing mental coaching for Wyndham Clark. And both of them said, you got to let the main thing be the main thing and focus on the stuff you can control with that main thing that you can't determine. How many holes you're going to play or whether or not you're going to win or what your score is going to be. What you can control is your swing. What I can do is make the main thing, and that's my radio show. And having to not listen to responsible people who do know what they're talking about but telling me I need to do all of this other stuff, that I need to do more in the day, consume more of my energies and produce more content on more platforms, well, then I'm going to wear myself out, and my time with you guys, which pays the bills and which I wish to invest in to grow this program, is going to suck. What we're finding is social media creators are running into the same thing. They're being told they got to do more with less, always be online, always be on, and you're not going to make a ton of money from it. In fact, you're going to wear yourself out. And you're not getting the sponsorship deals, and the unique cases during COVID have kind of collapsed. You got to maybe leverage it and diversify into other things. Now, related to this, this is the headline. This is wild, y'all. This is a little bit wild. Gen Z investors shun the 60-40 portfolio for sneakers and rare cars, Bank of America says. The new rich are trading long-standing investment tactics for more crypto-heavy portfolios and a passion for collectibles. Roughly 94% of Gen Z and millennial investors are interested in collecting items such as watches, rare cars, and sneakers, according to a new survey of wealthy Americans by Bank of America. It was the highest rate for any generation surveyed, with only 57% of baby boomers expressing interest in collectibles. The results illustrate the deepening generational gap between Gen Z and millennial investors and their baby boomer counterparts, according to the survey, with nearly three-quarters of wealthy younger Americans saying stocks and bonds alone can't deliver above-average returns. The future of wealth is increasingly running through more alternative investments. Ha! The generation that grew up collecting Pokemon cards and Beanie Babies would rather collect Air Jordans than stock in companies. Who could have seen that coming? This is wild. So, wow. Okay, so I got a buddy of mine, David Huey. Maybe you're listening. Some of you in the listening audience all know David. He's a great guy. He has a massive sneaker collection. I don't understand it. So I've got a friend, John, who is a watch collector, and he loves watches. I have a nice watch that I never wear anymore. It's in a drawer somewhere. I wear my Apple Watch all the time. I'm never, if I'm wearing a watch, it's my Apple Watch. I don't collect watches. One day I'd like to have a Rolex one day that I could pass down to my kid and grandkid. But I'm not a watch collector. I don't understand the shoe collection. Now, I say I don't have a lot of shoes, and then my wife spread them all out the other day, and I've got multiple different pairs of golf shoes. But I only use one pair, and they're in my car. The others I need to really throw away. I gave them a try, and they hurt my feet. I've got bad heels, so I needed something really comfortable, and I've settled on one that works, and the others don't, and I need to throw them away. I got a pair of running shoes or sneakers, whatever you want to call them, tennis shoes. I've got one pair of dress shoes. I got one pair of boots, and I got golf shoes and flip-flops. That's it. The golf shoes are very utilitarian, only wear on the golf course. The boots only come out at winter, and I even don't wear them that often. Typically, I am in my Brooks running shoes. In fact, I'm wearing them right now because, again, I've got bad heels on both feet. They hurt all the time. They never don't hurt. And the way to make them hurt the least is to wear these shoes. I don't understand people who have different shoes they wear for different things. Like a woman, I am clearly not a woman, my wife. I love my wife. I should probably just put the period there and not move on with the but. She's got lots of shoes for different things. And when we go on vacation, got to wear different shoes for different things. Y'all, I'd be fine. It's like, ladies, can we be honest? Y'all fix up your hair and do the makeup and all for other women, not for men. Because we really don't care. We just want to go to dinner on time. And y'all want to fix your hair and put your makeup on and do all that. And I get it. That's fine. You look lovely. You do. You look lovely. But it's okay. Now, that's a real digression from all of this, which is I should save myself and avoid the wrath of the women in the audience and go back to Gen Zers are not investing in stocks and bonds, y'all. They're investing in sneakers and cars. My dad had an amazing baseball collection when he was young. Our preacher, Justin, on Sunday was preaching about not coveting and was preaching about when he was a kid, one of his friends, his parents would just give him money. If he needed baseball cards, his parents would give him money. Justin had to work for it. He had to do chores, he had to cut the grass, had to do the dishes. His parents would give him a salary, essentially, paying him. And he'd go out, and he had to be more selective about the cards he bought and the packs he bought. But he had a massive baseball collection. Baseball card collection. And now we've got the Gen Zers who they collected, the Beanie Babies, or the Millennials collected the Beanie Babies, and now they're all collecting the Pokemon cards, and they decided instead of using stocks and bonds, somebody needs to get Dave Ramsey some smelling salts on this. So we have a group of kids who idolize becoming a creator on social media and making money, and it turns out very few of them are making money, and their investment strategy is in collectibles, for which there are curated select markets, for which it's not really liquid. I mean, here's the thing. If I want to sell my stock, I got in on the ground floor with ARM. I was in on the IPO. Now, I only was able to get like 15 shares out of it. But I was in on the ground floor, and I bought it at like, I want to say $67, and now it's like $130-some-odd a share. If I want to go sell it today, I'm going to my Charles Schwab account, hit the sell button, and I got the cash in my account within a day. If you want to sell your collection of Nike Air Jordans, good luck with that. If you want to sell your rare car, good luck with that. It's not easily convertible liquid asset. It's not. It's pretty illiquid. And yet that's where Gen Z investors are heading. They're abandoning the old tried and true knowledge that's fundamental and foundational to society. We're seeing this pattern time and time again, from the left to the right, to the young to the old, abandoning the tried and the true for the novel and the new. You know what the democracy of the dead is? G.K. Chesterton's phrase, I won't try to find the passages right now, I'll just read it to you, that essentially, the democracy of the dead is those generations that came before us didn't just have some grand epiphany. God did not come say, place your investments in 60% stocks and 40% bonds, and over time adjust so the percentages are reversed. So when you retire, you're all in stable bonds. God did not come down and say, have a job and make sure you move out of your parents' basement before you're the age of 25, because I'm God and I say so. God did not do that. Over time, the tried and the true, the generations of people who came before us, they tried all sorts of stuff. A lot of it did not work. They died. But they tried some stuff and it worked and it made them stronger. And that's the democracy of the dead. The traditions of the generations past, they tried the tried and true, and they settled on monogamy and stable families and how you invest and the basic laws of economics and the basic laws of science and biology and putting families together and building stable societies. And it just like a generation, everybody is forgetting the basic tried and the true on how you build a stable society, how you make the basic economics work, and how you invest so when you're 80 years old, you're not still in your parents' basement with them skeletons in bed upstairs and you on a gaming system oblivious your parents died 30 years ago. But that's what we're headed with Gen Z. We are going to have a whole civilization in need of a societal bailout by the time we're done with this. Good gracious.
He'll do the research and give it to you straight. Eric Erickson is live every weekday. You can be live on Eric's show by calling 877-97-ERIC. That's 877-973-7425.
Hi there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number, 877-973-7425. Take your phone calls. When we come back, this is a short segment I ran long talking about Gen Zers out there. Boeing's CEO is testifying right now before the United States Congress. He's in the Senate. There are growing calls for criminal actions against Boeing. More whistleblowers have come up. May God protect them. And there's also this Wall Street Journal reporting that over 57% of passengers in aviation right now are trying to make sure that the plane they're not on is a Boeing plane. And if they can schedule their trip to not be on a Boeing plane, they are. Remarkable damage done to Boeing with all of these incidents that have happened in the last number of months with them. Just, I mean, y'all, I gotta admit, I'm in the camp where I'm looking to see if I'm on Boeing flights and trying to arrange accordingly to avoid them, or at least to be on older planes, which is kind of wild to me. A buddy of mine, I was taking that flight to and from Louisiana the other week, and he's like, don't worry about it. Your plane was built in the year 2000. It's like, I'd rather be on a 24-year-old plane than on a current Boeing 737 right now, which used to be the most reliable, dependable Boeing aircraft. They've just cut so many corners. They've just destroyed the reputation of the company. Outsource and all that, my goodness. All right. When we come back, I'll take your phone calls. We got to talk about the great debate as well. But first, I got to tell you about Hillsdale College. They are asking you to take the survey on presidential selection. You know, we don't actually pick the president. When you go vote, you're voting for the Electoral College. And states used to list the Electoral College members, and now most of them just list president, vice president. You think you're voting for them, but you're really not. You're voting for the Electoral College. Some states want to change that and bind their Electoral College members to the popular vote, even without amending the Constitution. Hillsdale College, they want to know what you think. Go take their survey at ericforhillsdale.com. ericforhillsdale.com, E-R-I-C-K. Go to ericforhillsdale.com, and you can take the presidential selection survey and let Hillsdale know what you think. Now, normally Hillsdale College is trying to educate you, but right now they want you to educate them. It's also a great way to learn about Hillsdale College, a phenomenal conservative institution. Hillsdale College is in Michigan, and they provide conservative information and education around the country. Go to ericforhillsdale.com today. Learn more about them and tell them what you think about the presidential selection.
Smart, fearless, and occasionally funny. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
Hi there. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here across the United States of America. The phone number is 877-973-7425. You know what? I'm going to let Ellis in New York City help me kick off this segment. Ellis, welcome to the show. How are you?
Eric, you sexy piece of meat, you. It's great to connect. I have a few questions that Jake Tapper should ask during the presidential debate on CNN next week in Atlanta.
Okay.
And the first is, do you prefer Russian nuke subs or Chinese spy balloons? Are you running because you didn't spend enough money in your first term? How many more trillions did you plan to add to the national debt? Or how many more illegals do you plan to let in? Did you dirty your diaper? This one will be really good for Biden because he was just staring out into the abyss at the White House lawn last week with Billy Porter and Kamala. What year did Juneteenth become law and who signed it? Or what's your wife's name? Or this one will really get them. What's your favorite color Jello? And finally, who can make their dentures fly across the room the furthest?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I was just joking on social media that the sponsors of the CNN debate are going to be Werther's Originals and Depends. Those are good questions. It's going to be the battle of the geriatrics. Now, listen, I say this lovingly. Lovingly, do you hear me? This is not meant to offend the senior citizens in the audience, of whom my father is one, and he is older than both of the gentlemen running for president of the United States, though barely. He's only got Biden beat by a couple of years. Y'all, the debate is going to be at 9 o'clock at night on CNN a week from Thursday. CNN has settled on the ground rules. If you haven't heard, let's see here. I had them. The ground rules for the CNN debate are thus. Mics will be cut off when your time to speak is done. There will be no live audience. There will only be two commercial breaks. And there will be no pre-written notes. Now, the pre-written notes is standard stuff. Many members of the media say having two commercial breaks will be an advantage to Joe Biden. I don't think it will. I do believe that having no live audience and your mics cut off, those are going to benefit, or at least advantageous on paper, to Joe Biden. I don't know that they do in person, though, because I do think one thing that Donald Trump can do is just say, go on, Joe, finish your point. Because, you know, Joe Biden, say what you will, you all know it's true. Joe Biden is at the age where sometimes he forgets what he's saying, and every person of that age in that habit does what Joe Biden does and says, anyway, and changes the subject. Anyway is the or the it's anyway. And Joe Biden does that when he loses his train of thought. That is Joe Biden's verbal tick to do that. Everyone has a verbal tick. And Joe Biden's is to say anyway, and that's the end of his thought. And Joe Biden, when he does that, Donald Trump can say, no, Joe, finish your point, Joe. I'm sure you're going to make a profound point, and just let Joe Biden keep talking. Donald Trump's going to want to get a lot off his chest. And you know, and I know, that in this debate, which is going to last, I think, an hour and a half, 2 hours, the very first thing out of the gate is going to be stolen election. That's it. They have to do it. Listen, I know and I like Jake Tapper and Dana Bash. They're friends of mine. I worked with Dana at CNN before Jake got there. I am every once in a while on Jake Tapper's show. I am supposed to be scheduled to be on with Jake Tapper, I think the day after the debate. Or no, the day of the debate. And they both of them took seriously January 6th. And they're going to ask about January 6th. And Donald Trump needs to have his answer He needs to have his answer. And he needs to not be defensive. If I could give a single piece of advice to the Trump campaign, and they don't want my advice, and I know who to text, and I'm not going to text them. I have to be very careful how I say this because it'll rub some people listening the wrong way. And I don't mean to do that. I have an extraordinary Rolodex, and I'm not bragging here. It's just to say I never try to call or text people my wants and desires or if I have a strongly held opinion. I know Governor Kemp in Georgia very well, and I'm not going to text Brian Kemp and give him the business over what I want on an agenda. I never do that. I have people who text me all the time and they want the inside scoop. They want the knowledge. And I tend to, frankly, classify those people as not friends of Eric Erickson, but friends of the person on the radio. My friends never text me about the political scoop and the inside knowledge and why didn't I get this in email today or this, that, and the other. They never do that. Friends of the guy on the radio do. So I'm not going to text, though I have the cell phone numbers of the people that I could text and say, here's what you do. I have a 3-hour radio show. I can say it, and if they listen, they listen. If they don't, they don't. It's no big deal. But what I think Donald Trump should do when the January 6th stuff comes up, he should say, Joe Biden's president of the United States. I'm here debating to get my job back because when I was president of the United States, the economy wasn't wrecked. But do you stand by 2020? Do you stand by your claims about 2020 being stolen? You said it was stolen and it's been proven wrong and you've been indicted. Do you stand by your lies? I'm standing next to Joe Biden, the man who wrecked the economy, trying to get my job back. But do you regret what happened on January 6th of 2021? And do you apologize for what happened? I apologize for letting the American people down such that Joe Biden was able to become president and wreck the American economy. Do you have any idea how bad it was what you did on January 6th, Donald Trump? I know how bad Joe Biden wrecked the economy, and that's why I want my job back. You don't have to play their game. This isn't casting aspersions on Jake Tapper or Dana Bash. It's their job to ask these probative questions. If they don't ask those questions, they will be eaten alive. If they ask those questions, the only people who are going to care are Trump supporters. If they don't ask questions, everybody else is going to eat them alive. But Donald Trump doesn't have to play the game. Just keep going back to, I regret that Joe Biden is president and wrecked the economy. Do you now think the election wasn't stolen? What I now think is that Joe Biden is president and he wrecked the economy. Do you regret your lies? What I regret is Joe Biden's president and wrecked the economy. Are you going to answer the question? I'm going to answer that Joe Biden wrecked the economy, and it wasn't wrecked when I was president of the United States. You don't have to take their bait. You don't have to answer the question. Joe Biden's not going to answer their questions. Joe Biden's not even going to understand their questions. He's going to answer his own question. America! That's what Joe Biden's going to do for 2 hours, unless they really hop him up on the strong stuff. And then he's going to, America! He's going to have lots of energy, too. And then they'll say, oh, he's stuttering. It's a speech impediment. That's what it is. Donald Trump doesn't have to take the bait in the debate. He doesn't have to. And he can be funny and he can be engaging. And when Joe Biden attacks him, Joe Biden's not going to have his microphone on either. Joe Biden's not going to have a microphone on. Joe Biden's going to want to interrupt and interject Donald Trump, and he's not going to be able to do it any more than Donald Trump can do it to him because the microphone will not work until they call on him, and then only for a limited amount of time. Those are the rules that Joe Biden wanted. Those are the rules that Donald Trump agreed to, and I have a really sneaking suspicion that the Biden team was convinced Donald Trump would never agree to any of those things, and in fact, Trump himself said they agreed to everything because they think the Biden team was convinced Trump would agree to nothing. So we're going to have a great debate a week from Thursday. And my goodness, is it going to be so much fun to cover this the next day? Now, I want to go to one of the places I keep getting invited by listeners to come down there and hang out. I've never been, and I need to. And Joan is calling from the Villages in Florida. Welcome, Joan. How are you?
I'm good, Eric. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I understand that you've addressed the Michelle Obama replacement theory many times. I can only listen to you sporadically, and I missed half of what you said. But the reason I bring this up is because James Golden and Diana, Rush's editor of the Liberal Letter, they've got an ongoing bet. She's convinced from hell or high water that Michelle is going to be the candidate. I mean, I would lose sleep at night if that were to happen. But I also will state she never mentioned, she said, but she will not win against Trump. But she did not say why. And I just wanted to get your take on that.
So, first of all, for those of you who don't know, James is Bo Snerdly. And he is a dear friend. And I will say that here's why I don't think Michelle Obama is going to be the nominee. Number one, she's now said multiple times that she flat out doesn't want it. And the people who knew her when she was in the White House said she was miserable in the White House. She's way more of a private person than Barack Obama was. Number two, this is the thing I think that people don't appreciate. It's that the people who surround Joe Biden hate the Obama's guts. They hate the Obama's guts because they blame Barack Obama for Donald Trump. They genuinely believe that had Barack Obama stood with Joe Biden in 2016 and said, "You run, not Hillary," that Biden would have won and Donald Trump would have never been elected. Joe Biden showed loyalty to Barack Obama in their mind, and Barack Obama betrayed Joe Biden's loyalty. That's not me. That's the people who work with Joe Biden. That's the people who work with them and are surrounding Joe Biden. And those are the people who control the delegates. Right now, Joe Biden has all of the delegates to be president of the United States. If they were to replace Joe Biden before the Democratic convention, what they would do is they would have to release the delegates and say, "Y'all go support this other person." But the people who surround Joe Biden hate the Obamas so much, they would not surrender the delegates to Michelle Obama. I don't think they would. I'm not saying it's impossible. I just don't think it's probable. I think it's more likely they renominate Hillary Clinton than it is to bring out Michelle Obama. And I don't think that's going to happen either. I think it's going to be Joe and Kamala. And if Joe goes away, it's going to be Kamala. And I think she absolutely would lose to Donald Trump. I just don't see it being Michelle Obama. I could totally be wrong, but I just don't see it working out that way. Now, I got to tell you about Vision Computers before I get out of here. They've got some vision for you. You can build a computer with Vision Computers, and it'll save you money. You won't get the one-size generic big box. Okay, can I just explain this for you? And I don't want to go long here. First of all, let me give you the number, 404-COMPUTE. And their tech support is what you really want because it's fantastic. 15 seconds or less, you get the answer. And you don't have to have bought your computer from Vision Computers to have it. But I need to explain this to you because some of you are in my position where you got a kid going off to college or they need a computer. If you go to the big box store and you buy the computer that's at the big box store, or you go online to one of those sites and you buy their generic computer, you may not have the GPU, the graphic processing unit, to play games or for your kid to play games. It may not have the CPU necessary for the calculations you need for your program. It may not have the amount of RAM that's going to last you for memory. And over time, you're going to have to keep upgrading and upgrading. And it may not have enough RAM buffers and segments to add the RAM that you ultimately need. That's the memory for the computer. So you're stuck. And you're stuck in such a way that in 2 years, your computer's going to be outdated and you're going to have to go back to the big box store and get the latest. If you go to Vision Computers, they're going to ask you, what do you need? What do you think you want? And they're going to build you a computer that's not only going to last you longer, but it's going to be more upgradable and it's going to save you money. So you're going to get a machine for less money, but better and last longer. So you don't have to keep upgrading computers. That's what Vision Computers does. But then you're going to get their world-class tech support for free. Anybody else can pay $179 a year and get it. You get it for free. They can do it for your home. They can do it for your office. They can do it for your company. VisionComputers.com or 404Compute. 404Compute. Call them and tell them I sent you. You're going to get an even better deal. And then you get their tech support, y'all. And listen, if you don't have a computer from Vision and you're not interested in buying a new computer, you can still, for a flat yearly fee of $179 per computer, get their world-class tech support. VisionComputers.com or 404Compute.
You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show, the perfect blend of news, analysis, opinion, and cooking. Hang on. Is that right? Yeah, cooking. Get the podcast, live stream, email, and social media links by texting Eric to 33777 now.
Greetings and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. Y'all, I gotta tell you, I'm really proud of my wife. She made the news locally here in Atlanta on WSB-TV about her cancer. If you follow me on Twitter, it is, I put up the video there. I'll put it on Instagram as well. It's my favorite social media platform, but it's kind of cool. I mean, given a 12 to 18 month diagnosis 8 years ago with stage 4 lung cancer and 8 years later now, it's essentially become a chronic disease in our life. Every 3 months, she's got to go for scans. And it's just remarkable progress. And a great doctor in Atlanta. And it's just, it's been kind of cool. And I got to say, my listener friend Lee has been in the hospital, and he's out and on the mend. And I know he's listening right now. And I just was texting him saying I was praying for him. There's so much going on in the world right now, and it's nice to get some good news from people who are healing. Nancy French, I know many of you know David French, and I know, but his wife, I've been praying for her a lot. Nancy was diagnosed with cancer, and she still got to do radiation, but a great, great, great results from her doctor. All right, I can move on to other stuff. I don't want to be sappy with people doing well. I'm happy they're doing well, and now I want to talk about someone who's just doing not great right now, and that would be Rory McIlroy. Y'all, you know, I've become more and more obsessed with golf, and I'm so terrible at it. I keep getting asked to go play, and I'm like, as long as you understand that I'm really bad, I'll go play. But I have started watching it more, and I was that guy. I was that guy who, like, the idea of watching golf is like, I would rather go outside and watch grass grow, and have now just the more I've played, the more I appreciate it. And I like Rory McIlroy, and I wanted him to do well. And he did do well. He won over $1 million, but he came in second. He's been trying to win another major, and the U.S. Open is a major. This is, we're talking golf, not tennis, U.S. Open. And it was so crushing. Just, and the look on his face, you could just see it. And I felt, and Bryson DeChambeau was fantastic. What a brilliant player. And he's going to get canceled because he's friends with the Trumps. It's only a matter of time before someone writes a deep think piece at one of the woke sites about how problematic it is. They won. Good for him for winning. I'm happy he won, but I want Rory McIlroy to win another major. I do. And it just was crushing to see that happen. But then to think I couldn't do it. So anyway, all right, y'all, I'll talk to you tomorrow.